This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. We've got Darrell Thompson, former Green Bay Packer running back, coming up at about 8:15. Our man Dennis Peters having some car issues this morning. So Dennis is MIA for one morning. So go back to bed, Dennis. We'll see you next week. But we're here at Scott
or
Bensie
don't
and Mark
get out of bed.
Yeah, or one of the two.
Kind of cold.
Absolutely. Crawl under those covers. Got to ask you guys about covering sports all the years. I mean, Mark, of course, you on the medical side. Scott, you on the actual, you know, getting out there and doing things.
Medical is more important, by the way.
Well, it kind of is. But
I don't know.
They kind of go
just
hand
a little
hand.
Bit. Just a little bit.
But Scott, you've been here now for a long time in Green Bay, which I think is really cool. You're almost like the Gary Gresh type thing. You could have gone places, but this is like your hometown. And I think it's cool. Somebody that grew up here, went to Green Bay East, you know, followed sports all along, because you get the credibility factor if somebody says, well, he's not as good as this guy or that guy was years ago. But what have you seen over the years, high school sports wise, in the Northeast Wisconsin area that you cover from the time you started till now?
I'm not going to forget that question, but for one second here, that's exciting to see Darrell Thompson on the screen there.
I know.
That's my childhood.
Isn't he a great guy?
He signed a football card for me.
No kidding. So,
oh, cool. I think he was in the first round out of Minnesota with Tony Bennett, the football player.
Yes.
Same first round.
Both first round draft picks.
Yeah. Darrell Thompson.
1990.
That hits right
that's
there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that hits. But
oh, that's cool. Well, you're going to be talking to him at 8:15.
Well, I am not going to be
talking
to him.
Yeah, you are.
You're sticking
really,
around,
wow,
man.
Wow,
that's why we had you come in now.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
But anyway, so what I have seen, and I think it's because of the medical field, the quality, the caliber of athlete from when I first started to now is just so much high. And it's not like we didn't have good athletes in this area, but wow.
Okay, you look at like Patrick Ryson at Westy Pier.
Right.
You tell me that's not a D1 ready college football player at 16 years old.
Right.
And then I agree. And then think about what he will be like in 2 years.
Yes. Yeah. Project,
you know, I mean,
that.
Again, so again, we talk about where we were maybe back in the 2000s with high school athletes and where we were at 2010.
Yeah.
And where we're at now. And then to think, what's Patrick or where's, taking Alec Engel.
Mm-hmm. You know, Alec Engel, yeah.
You know, I mean, where were these guys and what did they do as a freshman? What did they do as a senior?
Yeah.
What did they do as a junior, senior in college?
And but for me, the number one thing is the quality of the quarterback play over the years that I've watched it. Mm-hmm. I wasn't here for Bud Keys. When I came to town, Bud Keys was going to be a freshman at Wisconsin. And I think he could have been a great Wisconsin quarterback until they switched to the Veer offense. Mm-hmm. I think that really screwed him up. 6'3", great arm, had it all. And I just think, and then when I did see him play, even when it was the Packers, I could project Ryson as almost like, and I've asked some people that when you saw him play versus this guy, I mean, those are two of the best I've seen in high school football. Yeah. And it's just amazing how just the mechanics and things have gotten so much better with these kids, haven't they?
Yeah, no, and when I first started, it was, and I still appreciate the...
Yeah, no disrespect to those guys whatsoever. Like, and, a lot of them didn't have weight rooms, didn't have 18 coaches, whatever.
Yep.
They were great athletes, but it just, things have just gotten so much more professional at those levels.
And it's been a while, you know, James Morgan at Eschwab.
Absolutely.
It's been over a decade, and that's where it's like, well, we haven't seen a lot of this in this area.
Right.
And then to your point with Ryson, he's actually the best I've ever seen in this area in the last 20 years because of if he can stay healthy, because he's had some concussion issues, which is always a huge concern, especially when they start to multiply like that. But if he's able to stay healthy, works hard, you know.
Well, you know he's going to work hard.
Yeah, he's going to be good.
So, Scott, we were talking earlier about the character of the athletes and how I think, and I think I'm right in that, they're just good people. And you look at that Alec Engel, he's up for the Walter Payton.
You always
think
to
about
say,
that.
You even did it yesterday, Jim.
I did.
You talked about these kids about going into politics.
I did.
Whenever
I
some
did.
Young person impresses him, he talks about that. But I will say this.
Not forever.
You did that to Alec Engel, and that was one where it's like, you know what? You're right.
I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
And I just, you don't have to be there forever, right? We don't, I'm all about term limits, but man, to serve, you know, 12 years or something, it'd be awesome to help a community. Anyway, you talk about changes though, 20 years, Scott, you've been covering this, but probably the biggest change though, isn't that whole social media. We touched on that, but that has just been something you're still, people read you, I mean, you cover the sport, but you also have a professional opinion on it. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we like to hear that, but has that been, you talk about the athletics has changed a lot, and I'll give you that, the weight rooms and everything, but boy, the media too has changed a lot, right?
Yeah, and I was saying before, I think in, let's say, 2005, I just feel like kids were still reading the newspaper or I really don't think, if I went up to Christian Collins, the great Notre Dame running back, your neighbor, I think, and I've talked to him multiple times. If I said, hey, Christian, what's my name? Man, I'd be surprised if he knew it. And I'm not even looking for first and last, just my first name.
He's coming over to my house Saturday night.
Ask him. we're
going to ask him.
So I'm going to give credit to Scott, because I think there are, if you polled 500 kids, no, I don't think they are going to know. Mm-hmm. But I think the kids who are around athletics and successful programs, I think are going to know who you are. And I think it's because you have done those feature stories, and they've and you've given
find
back.
You online though.
I mean, we know that's changed. I mean, the game.
I miss the old sports pages.
Open up the page. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree. You know, I mean, on a Saturday morning, it opened up to see all the different games.
Absolutely.
On a Friday night, or after a Thursday basketball game. But we get it. It's changed, but
they don't deliver anymore on a Saturday. You know,
we actually don't have a print product on Saturday, so there's nothing to deliver.
They don't. Yeah. I was telling them how I got upset with the Press Gazette, but I just went crawling back. That happens all. When I was mayor, I used to cancel you guys all the time.
I'll tell you what, though.
But it's a great paper.
For me, some of the people I looked up to, I don't want to say heroes or whatever, growing up and in college and everything, were sports writers.
They were
huge. Yeah. They were big-time celebrities.
Huge.
Yes.
I mean, Dick Schaaf for me on the sports reporters, and then you'd be at the Packers Hall of Fame, and you'd be like, wow.
You're Dick Schaaf.
Those were my guys growing up.
Is that what kind of led you to? Who were, like, your guys?
Oh, well, Dick Schaaf was one of them.
Okay.
You know, the guys from the Washington Post, because I grew up
in Washington. Tony Kornheiser?
Yeah. Yep. Who, you know. Those,
Michael Wilbon?
Yep. More Kornheiser, though, by the way. Yeah. But.
For me, it was Joe Falls from the Detroit Free Press.
Legendary. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Teddy Greenstein from the Chicago Tribune. He was doing Cubs, and then he went to Notre Dame football.
Okay.
You know what? Skip Bayless. He did an interview for me when I was in college. One of the only guys who responded, so I always respected that. Now, I do question some of his antics after that, but I always respected that he took the time to talk to me.
When you're in college and somebody takes the time, you better believe it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So.
I just think it's a shame, and I know that the world has changed, but that Mark, you and I, and whatever, same thing. Saturday morning, that was the greatest thing in the world, is open up that sports page.
You know what, though? I liked Green Bay East during lunchtime, going to the library in the USA Today sports section, because, see, I was more of a national. I wasn't a Packers fan. I wasn't a Bucks fan.
Wow.
I really didn't actually even care about local sports, so... Man, to get it's a treasure of stuff. The box scores, the NBA.
Frank DeFord?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Legendary.
Yep.
Too bad you're afraid to fly, because you could have been on that level, you know?
That's right.
I think I could have been on that level.
I laugh because my big thing was always look at the transaction and see all that happened. Yeah. If you asked a young kid now about what are you talking about?
Yeah.
That was huge to see who got traded, moved up and down.
Oh, the transactions thing?
Yeah. That was a... You know, you had a slender column, but you'd have 50 of them every single day.
I'll tell you what, I go so far back, my favorite thing was the old Sporting News, where you'd get it, you read everybody's Major League Baseball averages and everything.
Yep.
How are we doing there, Todd? Okay, still working on it. But I remember it'd always be this Detroit Tiger, Ray Oyler, would always be batting like 162. He'd be last in this. And I always thought, what would that be like to, you know, be every week in the Sporting News, you're listed as the worst hitter in the major leagues. So I had one of the legendary guys, one of my all-time sports media heroes, Ernie Harwell, play-by-play for the Detroit Tigers.
Yep.
Loved him. And we had him on my show one time. I go, Ernie, can I just throw out some names and tell me what you think? Well, absolutely, John. And I go, Ray Oyler. Well, Ray Oyler, let me tell you something. He was a slick shortstop. I couldn't hit a lick. In fact, it was so bad that one time he got up to bat with two outs, and Dick McAuliffe was the man on deck. But instead of carrying a bat, he brought his glove to the on-deck circle.
He's a little Bob Uecker in him then.
A lot of Bob Uecker.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, just one of those guys. You grow up with that. And, you know, when you hear their voice. And those were the guys that led me into doing it because I thought they were so cool.
Yeah.
So.
And you know, even for kids nowadays, do they have those? Like, do they go Bob Costas or Vin Scully?
I can't tell you who the Bucks announcer is right now.
Yeah. I couldn't either.
It used to be Ted Davis. Yeah. I don't know who it is. Jim, who is it? But even Bud Lee with the old Milwaukee papers and some of those guys were, you know, fun to read. And it gave you an education. It gave you an insight because we didn't have the ESPNs. We didn't have the whatever's. Yeah. That gave you a window to the world.
I think Jim just said it earlier, is sometimes you're finding these things out. You follow social media. You see it live, 8, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. If you wait till 10 o'clock the next day, it's old news.
I always ask
my
students.
The sports cycle has changed.
I always ask my students in one of the first classes, like, where do you get your news? Because I think that tells you a lot about them. Yeah. And it also tells you, you know, because they get fed. Not all the media is great. Right. I mean, you know, this whole TikTok thing and you guys got to get filtered. And what I really stress out to them is you got to look at a couple different sources.
Yeah.
You know, because if you're just locked into one station all the time, I don't think that's the healthiest.
Jim, thought they just get it from WGBW.
There you go. No?
So do they tell you they get it from TikTok? Uh-huh. See, that to me is a concern.
Me too, but yeah. I ask them to, you know, when they have to do a little bit of research to look at things that are more local. Yeah. The fact that they're all TikTok, just to look at, I'm not a big MSNBC or Fox. I think those are two extremes, but there's some news that they can, some great reporting that's done by people like you, but more in the political world that I ask them to listen to.
I just think people like to consume 15 seconds now rather than
absolutely.
Like, you know, and you don't get a lot of depth in 15
Although
seconds.
I got to say one thing, like when I was in college or whatever, there was a big rift between sports writers and sportscasters. You know, sportscasters were always, they're the blow dry pretty boys, yada, yada, yada.
Yep.
And now all those sports writers are on TV.
Yep.
They're all pretty boys on TV.
Yeah. My teacher in college was like that because they were all journalists teaching us. And we would have broadcast and print in this, and she would just rail on the broadcast. I'm like, this is kind of uncomfortable because, I mean, there's people who want to be, but yes, print people used to.
We're more credible.
Absolutely. Because, you guys just do whatever we do and then you follow up on it So.
Did you ever think of me that way?
Never. You know what? No joke. When we were talking about, you were a legend to me.
Yeah. Really?
Yep. And to my former girlfriend, who we called on air once, and it made me look really, really good.
I remember
because
that.
She loved you.
I remember that.
And I was like, hey, I know John Michael.
wait a minute. A female that loved John Michael? Come on. Something seems off here.
Somebody referred to you one time as an empty suit. I'm like, he doesn't wear a suit.
No.
Somebody referred to me that way? Wow. I thought I filled out a suit pretty well. We got to start a quick break back up.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Golden Gopher, who ran roughshod over the Big Ten Conference for 4 straight years, and then a number one draft pick of the Green Bay Packers. Ladies and gentlemen, live from Minneapolis, DT Darryl Thompson. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, good morning.
How are you, Darryl?
Hey, I'm doing great.
It's good to talk to you. It's been a long time.
It has been a very, very long time, but it's good to hear your voice. It's always good to get back to my Packer roots. I tell people I'm driving in Minneapolis, and as soon as I get on the east side, I feel all the green and gold hitting me.
That's awesome. Hey, one of our guys here, Scott Vency, longtime sports writer here in Green Bay, is all excited that he gets a chance to talk to you and tell him why.
I would write in nostalgia right now because I think he got drafted 1990.
Yep, 90.
19th overall, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right in my heyday of like, I'm 13 years old. Daryl Thompson autographed a football card for me. And I mean, that's, it's still, I still have my Daryl Thompson autographed
book. Brought it with him.
And it was during a time where people still, you could read their autograph a little bit. Yes. He had decent penmanship.
Absolutely.
Yep. All right. Good teachers.
Yep. Yep. Hey, so
Daryl, what are your memories? What are your memories coming into Green Bay?
One of the most important things that my mom said, when you sign it, they should be able to read it. Mm-hmm. And so I really, really took that to heart. And I think your question about my memories of Green Bay,
Yes, sir.
It was such a great time. And I didn't know about the great history of Green Bay when I was, I grew up in Minnesota. And I'm 57, so it's just pre-internet and everything else. So it wasn't like now where there's TV and Instagram and, programming from, dusk to dawn and NFL Network and ESPN around the clock. So my Green Bay Packer, when I got drafted, is when I found out about the rich history and how many people in Minnesota were Green Bay Packer fans. And the people that, showered my parents with gifts and opportunities and just to learn that the Packers existed before the Vikings and the Super Bowls and Bart Starr and all those former great players, Dave Robinson and others, to be able to meet them over the time that I was there, and Ray Nitschke. So those are just some of the highlights to me, are the former great players and the great games, being able to play with Reggie White and Brett Favre. And, I missed out on the Super Bowl by 2 years, but I just have, Leroy Butler is still a good friend. We talk, and a lot of other former Packers still talk and text and laugh. And we lost my position coach passed away about a week and a half ago, Willie Pete. And
I didn't know that.
We're talking about. Yeah, he was a great, great man. I get emotional thinking about it, but he was a great, great man, a great leader. His son's coaching, his other son played. He's just a wonderful, wonderful human being. And to be coached by him and led by him he was just my coach for the first 2 years, and I was with the Bears, and I was kind of worn out, and I didn't make it on that team that year. Those are some of the highlights.
I got to just say one thing, Garrett. The Pete family, I go back with them to Tucson, all the way back when he was coaching at the University of Arizona. His son Skip played for the Wildcats, and his son was the greatest high school athlete I'd ever seen, Rodney Pete. As a sophomore, he's the most valuable player in the state in football as a wide receiver. Mm-hmm. He won the state championship in baseball. I want to say he pitched like a no-hitter in the state championship game, and he was the leading scorer when they won the state championship in basketball as a sophomore. Mm-hmm. And, of course, he had a nice career. Do you remember Rodney, of course, on Daryl?
Oh, yeah. I played against Rodney a handful of times. He had a very, very nice NFL career.
And he got married to Holly Robinson.
Yep,
that's the biggest win out of all of them.
Right. Yeah,
he's married up on that. He's winning. He's definitely winning.
Yeah. Daryl, Jim Schmidt,
He was mayor of Green Bay for 16 years.
Forever. With the Packers, and a lot of times they had this, the rookies meet the mayor type thing.
Oh, yeah.
But I will give the Packers a lot of credit for educating these players, because there are people like you, Daryl, that don't know this rich history. We kind of take it for granted. Everybody knows Bart Starr. Everybody knows Vince Lombardi. And some of them don't. And a little different now, like you said, because of the internet. But I just think it's really cool how they don't. That's part of their teaching when these rookies come in, is this rich history. And I think that helps. I think that helps build a structure. They do. I think that's, obviously you found value in the history of it too, as well.
Well, I'm a little bit of a history buff, and I love football, growing up, Walter Payton was my favorite running back, and of course he ran all over everyone, including the Green Bay Packers, but to be able to meet Ray Nitschke and all the other, I met a lot of the great players, and they brought them back to speak to us sometimes too. There was Willie Wood came back, and Ray and a handful of other players came back and spoke to the team. So it was a big deal for me and for us to be able to see those legends.
Right, and they still do that. They have the alumni weekend. That's the first weekend we've done that fun run with that. Not that those guys run, they participate, but it's still. I mean, I think that's great that the community of Green Bay doesn't take that rich history for granted. We continually promote that, and just thinks you're part of that now.
Yeah. Hey, Daryl, what was it like? I mean, obviously your number one draft pick, all eyes on you in 1990, and then of course Lindy, who used to come on the show and everything. He lost his job. Then a whole new structure comes in, and you had to be the guy for them. How hard was that transformation?
Oh, it was really hard. It's a tough transition, you know, being there for 2 years and probably getting in drafted into a system that really didn't fit my running style, being asked to play fullback instead of tailback. And but it was a challenge. And then when the new coaching staff came in, I was able to, you know, make the team and be a part of it for a while. But I had a great opportunity playing for Coach Holmgren in the West Coast offense, and be able to play with Brett and to play with, you know, Vince Workman and a lot of Harry Sidney and Edgar Bennett and a lot of the other, and Dorsey Levins came on. So, you know, eventually, especially as a running back, they're always, you know, every other year they're drafting a running back because we're just playing in traffic, you know. Yeah. Your shoulders, your knees, your neck, everything is at jeopardy, and that's just the nature of the beast. But we do love it, and it's a great opportunity, and it was a blast.
Well, Darrell, it sure is great to talk to you here. And like I said, Don Davey helped set this up, and he said, please just don't ask about the game he gained like 250 yards against us when I was playing for the Badgers.
that may have been in 1990.
Well, he was on the Badgers team. He was right there before they came out of it. Now the Badgers have been on an awesome run, you know, starting with Barry Alvarez almost, you know, 35 years ago or something like that. But it's been the Badgers, but it was fun, and I got recruited by the Badgers. I mean, I considered becoming a Badger, and at that point, it made more sense for me to become a Gopher, and it worked out well for me. But it was, you know, the Badgers are near and dear, and I have a daughter that played volleyball and actually was an All-American for the University of Wisconsin.
Oh, wow!
And competed for a national championship, so yeah.
Outstanding. Well, yeah. Darrell, listen, I know you're having an incredibly busy morning. Truly appreciate you stopping by, my friend.
Thank you for having me on. You guys take care.
You're the man. Darrell Thompson. We're going to set a quick break. Back with Paul Handel, Heights Pub and Parlor Music Series.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Heroicdeed.com.
Anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store and text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back, Mino and the Mayor. Man, we've had some great guests. Lisa Hale, of course, Wisco Weekend Preview, Mark Houston, Bell and Sports Medicine, Scott Vency, Green Bay Press Gazette, Gary Gresh, head coach, men's basketball at St. Norbert, Darrell Thompson, former Green Bay Packer, running back with our Burkle's One Block Over segment, and now it's the Heights Pub and Parlor Music Series, Paul Hanna, who ironically was a classmate of Scott Vency. In the house, if he walks in and just kind of puts his headphones on, like these musicians,
right, like
they own the place.
They waltz in late. They come waltz
in. Mino, you've maybe done radio a time or two.
It's like it doesn't.
Ashley from the Heights Pub and Parlor is here while Mr. Hanna gets settled. We could maybe.
You know what? He's like Springsteen. It's like concert starts at 8 and he shows up at like 9:30.
Right. Doesn't start.
Paul, is that the way? Big time?
Doesn't start till I get here.
It's fine.
Murphy used to get mad.
You just wait for me. I had to get my coffee. I need my coffee in the morning.
When somebody asked me and Murphy, when did our show start? I'd always say, when Mino gets there.
Yeah. True story.
Yeah, it is.
Ding, ding,
Ashley,
ding.
What is up at the Heights Pub and Parlor?
Is this thing on?
Okay. I'm having some issues with her mic, so Mina, would you share, please?
Thanks. Okay, so it's Friday. We got fish, perch, and walleye.
Awesome.
We also this week have new featured plates, and I'm telling you, I have tried all of them because Dom is making me come outside my comfort zone, and they are absolutely delicious. We've got a grilled romaine salad, hot bacon dressing.
Ooh, that's
so good.
Now, that is...
That's good.
That is good stuff, good. And that is Wisconsin. It's everything about... Hot bacon.
Yeah, and anything with bacon is delicious, really.
Vinegar.
We have a Nashville crispy chicken sandwich. Oh, God, it's so good.
I had that yesterday.
Not you did?
No. You know what? I just want to say I had it at Poke the Bear, your competitor.
Geez. Here we go.
But I didn't know
you had it.
But
wait,
it's
our feature plate. It just came on this week, so no
worries.
That
is why. Okay, that is why I will come to your place, but I do like that sandwich.
It's so good.
I'm there.
And then you can get regular sweet potato fries.
Okay.
Oh. They have those too. We have chicken parmesan. On top of some julienne potato fries.
Nice. That is not for me, John.
You're a chicken parmesan.
I'm not holding back for the next 2 weeks. Then I'm working out every day for 2025.
Oh, well, you've got a little bit of time then. Try some chicken parmesan. And
did I say 2025? I meant 2026.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, next Friday we have Toni Fritz live. With her piano at 7 p.m. at Heights. So, yeah, it'll be great.
Where's your piano? It's upstairs?
Yeah, I was going to say that, too.
We don't have a piano, so I'm hoping she's bringing one.
That was the best question you ever asked, Jim.
Roll in.
Maybe it's
a mini one. Do you think?
She's bringing the keys.
I'm having a little get-together. I have a piano on the first floor, which most people do. But on the third floor, I have another one, the piano you're talking about. And those are they're not as good, but they're they're pretty good. So anyway,
yes,
that's probably what she's bringing.
Yes.
I just didn't remember seeing a piano when I was at your place. All right, enough of that.
It's invisible.
Comes through the floor.
That would be awesome. Yeah. Elevated.
Nice.
It's like back in the days of TV when they'd bring in cars into the studios.
Yeah.
And they'd have the big name. It'd be on the round, the circular thing, so they could put it wherever they wanted.
Yeah.
So what else you got going on, Ashley, at the Heights Pub and Parlor?
We have lots of Christmas parties. We still have a little bit of time in December yet. Otherwise, lots of openings left up in January. So
I swear there are more Christmas parties after Christmas these days, aren't there?
I agree.
Yeah.
You know, you got to kind of get over like the hustle and bustle of everything. And, it's so nice. I get my own mic.
It's not you.
But like, you know, you have your family stuff. You have like everything else going on. It's always nice to, you know, be able to do a work event or something after the holidays where you can, where everything's kind of settled down.
Where you can actually unwind
and enjoy
it.
Yes, exactly.
Instead of adding.
Although we've talked about this. Everybody's probably been to an office party where somebody has a couple too many and says something they shouldn't have said to the
That's what I'm down for.
That's
what I'm down for.
I had the impersonation on you. Phil, I got to tell you something.
You're the best.
A lot of people don't like you. I think you're awesome. We never saw him again.
Coincidence?
Hanna. Very good.
What's going on? Welcome to Heights Pub and Parlor Music Series.
Thanks for having
me. Dennis and the Glam Band has car issues this morning, are capably filling in. So you've got a brand new song that's really cool.
Yes, I do. I got a song. I never had a Christmas song before, so this is my first Christmas song. And had a couple people that helped out with it. I started on this actually a year prior, but one of the guys that I was working with ended up getting, unfortunately, got very ill, and he passed away. So this is something that I needed to touch back on, and it was a little weird, obviously, after his passing, but we got through it and it got it done, and I wanted to share it with you guys.
Wow. So you wrote this song?
Correct.
You wrote the music as well?
Yes.
This is 100% you. That's cool.
Thank you. That's
cool. All right, I want to hear this. I'm looking forward to that. I said the last couple weeks, there's just not a lot of new Christmas songs, and yet everybody listens to music during the holiday season, you know? A lot of people listen to it all year, but that's just a time, and, you know, besides Mariah Carey, you know, who's, you know, cashing in every day. But there hasn't been a lot of, like, great new... Would you agree with that? I mean, that silver, whatever, that slipper one.
I just want to make one comment. I just saw a thing, like, maybe yesterday, for the first time in I don't know how many years, hers was no longer the number one Christmas song. I
can't think what... Because we're all
exactly.
Over
it's funny
it.
You would say that. The first time it's not number one in
I don't know.
I heard
years.
A new one today from Ariana Grande.
Oh, really?
Tell Me Santa or something. It was actually pretty good.
Okay.
I just can't even imagine the amount of money that she makes yearly, though. And it's done. Like,
It's forever.
It's forever.
She signed a good... whoever agent was signed a really good contract because, she like made a gazillion dollars and it's not even Christmas yet. I don't know. I'm going to look that up at the break. I think she's still number one, Johnny.
I just saw this, though.
Really?
Yeah, for the first time.
She's been
running the
charts. I don't know what took the place.
Every time their song's played on the radio, they make money. Residuals. Like, no matter anybody?
Right.
Yeah. Oh,
right.
Gosh.
Yeah. And they have their little music police out there, too.
Sure.
You know, they're like,
but there's people that'll sell.
The city.
You hear about people like older artists will sell their catalog, right? You have somebody that'll sell all of the material.
Right.
The Beatles did that.
Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson, yeah, clearly bought all that stuff. But then, yeah, they make all the residuals off that. Right. So anytime they're, if it's a commercial or it's in a movie right. or anything,
when,
they make
when somebody
a lot of money.
Buys your book, they don't buy it because they like you. They're buying it to make money. And you're, like you said, it's on everything. And you never even know if someone's going to use your commercial, like, you know, in a Chevy commercial.
Yep.
You know,
down okay. the
road. Bob Seger.
When there you go.
When Bob Seger was in Green Bay at his concert here, and I love Bob Seger, and he's going to play a song right now that. You know, I thought it was a really great song. And, you know, I always said, I'm never going to be a sellout. I just want my music for the people. And then Chevy wanted my song like a rock. And I said, no, I got my standards. And then they told me the kind of checks I was going to get for the rest of my life. Anybody else want me to sing a song?
Any other commercials you know? That are needed out there?
Yeah. But you read about that, and people are, you know, investors, investing group that are buying the book of people because they do see a future with, you know, monetizing that.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Going on. Sorry. I hope your song makes it.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah. Thank you. I think it will.
But well, you never know either. Cause no. Yeah, there's so many times where you read something and say, oh, we got a hit coming out, man. We got, and it turns out to be nothing. And then some other song comes out and it just clicks with people for right. some reason.
Yep. Right.
And it just becomes huge and gets used and things like that. So for songwriters, there's always that little spark in their mind. I would think, who knows? Who knows who could hear this?
For
well,
sure.
About the creative process, I mean, when you're inspired or if you see an avenue, right? I mean, I can't, in listening to a lot of music, you can sometimes hear, like, okay, people sat down to write a wedding song so that they know it's going to be used and
scripted.
Abused.
Yeah, yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
But that's not necessarily your route. Your
No. Years and years ago, we were playing at a venue that was actually famous through the movie Purple Rain when Prince had his thing. It was called First Avenue, and we played there years and years ago, and there was a band that was doing sound check at the time, and they did a cover of Father Christmas by the Kinks, and it was just rock and roll and loud, and I was like, that's Christmas awesome. Song I could get behind, yeah. you know, like, this is fantastic. And, you know, like we all talked about how we're so sick of the Mariah Carey Christmas song, you know, I thought I'd try to take my stab at doing something that had a little edge
little
to it.
Edge. But yeah. you know, it.
You still, somebody else could do the song and you still make jing on that. And that happens a lot as well. I just think it's really cool that you are the author of both the lyrics and the music.
Yeah.
And I hope that works. I think it will.
I worked with, there's one of my very best friends, Chris Hanaway, helped me with some of the lyrical content. But
did you cut him in on the deal? The hell?
Oh, yeah,
you did. Okay. I just.
Okay. I mentioned nobody. This is something I don't understand because I want to be a music writer. Okay.
Yep.
But hey, here's something I don't understand. So you.
He doesn't understand how to write music.
No. This is that Mr. Turtle.
No.
Drassel drone. Okay, go ahead.
But the part. I can't understand it when somebody says they write the musical part first and then write the words. Is that is the,
they hear the
lyrics?
The sound. They hear
is that
the
right,
vibe,
or do you write the lyrics and then match it to sound?
Lyrics are the last thing.
Wow,
that is crazy. Yeah.
So, because
I hear the melody in my head. Yeah. I'll start noodling around on a guitar, and I'll come up with a melody. And if you heard some of the stuff that you know when I start a song, I'm just rambling nonsense, just absolute nonsense, or just syllables or whatever, and I'm just kind of getting that through. And you'll listen back to it, and I'm like, oh, all right, well, there's a cadence here.
Yep.
And then you try to fit words into that, and then try to come up with a story that maybe you can elaborate on a little bit more to.
Wow.
I actually saw, so we all like Phil Collins in the studio. I know Donna, Jim's wife, loves Phil Collins, but he tells a story about In the Air Tonight, right? Huge song. He was just sitting there making stuff up. And the song really doesn't necessarily mean anything. It just, he created the story as he was kind of doing the gibberish thing like you do, Paul. So one of the best songs.
Well, I read an article recently about Hotel California. The riffs in that are some of the most legendary of all time.
Yeah.
And it was Joe Walsh and I forget whom else.
Dunfelder.
Yeah, one was in like California, the other was in like New York, and they would like write something, and then the other would play.
Send it back and forth.
Send it back and forth.
Yes, I've heard that story as well.
Yeah, so I mean the coming together of the different, you know, what you got in your mind to
but
make.
That's what's so
and it became one of the greatest riffs ever, right, Paul?
Oh, totally, 100%. Yeah, the I was blessed to do a show with Don Felder out in St. Paul. I was in an original band called Flip. 2017, we did a show and I got to actually strum on that guitar, the Hotel California double neck.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it was pretty iconic.
Oh, that's cool.
Wow. I think that's the greatest opening lyric or opening music to a song of all time.
It's it's
instantly recognizable.
Absolutely.
And the outro solo is just like that's a whole nother movement. It's like it could be its own song.
Yeah.
You know, it's so melodic.
Yeah. No, another thing though, guys like you still like Christmas music, I guess, right? I mean, you tell me.
Well, I wanted to do something that was a little bit more my flavor.
Right. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I certainly love the holiday.
Right, but don't spin on it.
The vibe of the holidays. I love that, you know,
okay.
Family getting together, everybody having fun. But I wanted it to have a little bit more stink on it, if you will, you know?
We got to hear that. But it's Bing Crosby's White Christmas, which, ooh, just for the record, I got engaged to that song.
Is that the song?
Oh. Today is Jim's 35th anniversary of being engaged.
Yeah.
35 years. And it was to Bing. It was to White Christmas.
Happy anniversary.
I put the cassette in. That's all the way.
You're so much more romantic than
that. No.
Yeah. We will be talking.
To hear my story?
Hold on, honey. I got an 8-track. I got to pop
That's
in
kind
here.
That's what it was. It wasn't a CD.
Right in the middle of the 8-tracks going.
You put a match, pack of matches
right,
underneath.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep from skipping.
This must be before my time.
You know what I like? My favorite Christmas song.
We have to humor the elders amongst us.
No, but my favorite Christmas song, other than City Sidewalks, is Dan Fogelberg.
Auld Lang Syne.
Auld Lang Syne.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the New Year's Eve song.
Met a lover in the grocery store.
Oh, no.
It was raining Christmas Eve.
Well, that's... Okay, you're saying two things. He does... John thinks... The first three words of the song is the title.
I feel like we go through this every week.
He says that all the time. He does. We do. And that's because nobody's getting it.
Welcome
that
to my
beat
life.
A dead horse.
That is right.
Oh, my gosh.
But, to death. I think the name of that song is called Auld Lang Syne.
It is. Auld Lang Syne, yes.
And even though it's
you
not.
You got one
it's
right.
Not,
what's the one I'm thinking of that we play at?
Auld Lang Syne.
No. New Year's Eve.
Auld Lang Syne.
Yeah, same thing.
Right.
At midnight?
But it's a different song. I don't know why that song's called Auld Lang Syne. It's about Christmas Eve.
Wait a minute.
Makes no sense.
It's funny because my Christmas song is called Stairway to Heaven. I'm just kidding.
That Auld Lang Syne way, should all acquaintances be forgotten? That's what you're thinking of, but Johnny's thinking
this
of
this.
But it's called the same thing?
Yes.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Okay.
It's actually.
Thank you.
His version is called Same Auld Lang Syne.
Okay.
That's how I got
Let ye cast the first stone who hasn't spent Christmas Eve sitting in a car with an ex-lover drinking a six-pack. That's what the song's about.
Makes me a little uncomfortable. All right.
When we come back, Paul, we're going to hear your new song.
Awesome.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. Dan Fogelberg. But you know what? We got somebody that's not taking a backseat to Dan Fogelberg when it comes to singing Christmas songs. Paul Hanna, Heights Pub and Parlor Music Series in the house. And we...
Hi.
Hi. You sound in your headphones? Good?
I sound perfect. It's angelic.
So we can... You're actually
voice
gonna,
of an angel.
You're actually going to just pull this off right here without musical accompaniment and everything.
Nope, we got it recorded.
Oh, you got it recorded.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I thought you were doing it live.
No, that would be hard.
Weird.
Yeah.
Acoustic behind the music.
With just caroling
inside the studio.
Caroling.
I can see you have been a caroler back in your day.
Here's the Halloween. Johnny.
Yes, I thought.
Absolutely.
Johnny.
Hat.
What?
Here's how we're going to make
we did
up the difference between your tip jar and Jim's tip jar.
Yeah.
Saturday night. Saturday night at Jim's party, we're going to carol. After a couple of cocktails,
we'll go around the neighborhood.
Yep.
Somebody better
and
record
people,
this.
People.
Jim will not let that happen.
People will pay to have Mino stop singing.
Yeah.
That is how you win the bet.
Welcome to my world, Paul.
Paul, what's the name of your song?
It's just called Xmas, like Christmas. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's listen to it.
Me under
awesome.
I like that.
Thank How you. Cool is
That's
that?
That's right.
We hey, guys.
Nobody wants it to end. That's awesome.
You ain't no Bing Crosby.
Not your mama's Christmas
Not
music.
Your mama's Christmas. But that was fantastic.
I loved
Thank
it.
You. Thank you. Thank you.
And good. You know what's interesting? Talking about how you start these things, you just kind of play around. And what you create with something like that is amazing. It's You guys have a different chromosome than normal people. I swear.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah, it's cool. A cool chromosome.
You got a cool chromosome.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just doing it's it for so many magnet. Years, you know. Once you bounce ideas off people, and it's the way it, you know, you're just constructing things. I was explaining that to her earlier where it's, you have the, you know, you got the foundation and then you build it up, you know, just.
Where can people hear this?
I'm working on that. Okay. I'm going to have it, I'm going to push it to iTunes and Spotify and get it on all the streaming sites.
Awesome.
Where are you playing live coming up?
We have a big show, actually, to go back. The last time I was on here, we were talking about the Tommy benefit.
Yes, I want to recap that.
Yeah, I've got one of the last places that we ever played at. We were supposed to play the day that he passed away. We were supposed to play at Circle Tap.
Okay.
And Darren is actually selling the place, and we're playing there the 21st.
Okay.
So in 7 Denmark. O'clock. Jin is going to be opening up. Ben Boncher, who's actually in our band currently, in Annex. He had a band called Jin back in the day. They used to play a bunch of shows with us and stuff. And they're opening the show. Then we've got one of our original members, Chad, is coming back. We're going to do a set. And then we're doing the current lineup.
When is it again?
December 21st. Saturday, December 21st.
At Circle Tap in
At
Denmark.
Circle Tap. Yep. 7
Outstanding.
O'clock.
Paul Hanna. This is Annex. Fun. Great stuff, buddy.
Thank you so much.
Awesome.
Great having you here.
Great being here.
Good luck at Heights Pub and Parlor this weekend.
Thank
Ashley,
you.
Your menu sounds phenomenal.
It's delicious.
Thanks for sponsoring this
Thank
for us.
Thank you.
Nikki.
Have a great weekend, kiddo.
Give us an out. give us a good out. No?
No.
All right.
Mm-mm. I'm
bye.
Out.
All right, bye. Hey, thanks, everybody. Thanks for a great laugh today. Todd, thanks for everything you do. We'll be back in Monday morning. Mind on the Mayor. See ya.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.